Well, turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to hear a little bit about faith today. I know you've never heard anything about faith. I've only been talking about it for about 4 weeks now. But you know what I decided? If we talk about it till Jesus comes, there's nothing wrong with that, is it?
Amen.
The scripture says in the Gospels, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith on the earth?" You ever heard that verse? Jesus was saying, you know what I'm going to be looking for when I come back again? I'm going to be looking for people who are standing in faith. In other words, they're not looking around at the circumstances around them. They're looking up. Amen?
Amen.
And so Mark 11, 23, we're going to talk about faith today. The name of my message is Receiving by Faith. Receiving by Faith. Mark 11, 23. Let's pray before we read it. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes, our spiritual ears, to see and to hear and to perceive that which you're speaking to our hearts. That we thank you that as the word enters, Lord, our heart, and it's mixed with faith, Lord, it will produce that which you desire, and it will bring healing and recovery in our lives in every area in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark 11, 23, "For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith," that's right, "whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Praise the Lord. Listen, there's two things talked about in these two verses. There are mountains in our lives that need what? They need removal. Amen? How many of you ever had a mountain in your life you say, this thing needs to go? This is not a good thing. I want this out of my life. Amen? Well, Jesus said here that if we would speak to the mountain and say to it, "Be removed and cast into the sea." What does the sea represent? The sea represents that place of forgetfulness. Remember that psalm that said, "I will cast your sins as far as the east is from us, and I'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness," it says in the book of Psalms. Listen, the sea is the place of forgetfulness. How many of you know when the mafia wants to do away with some evidence, what do they usually do? Throw it in the ocean, Tommy. You know, right? Get rid of that thing. Throw it in the ocean. Why? Because no one's going to find it in the ocean. And so when Jesus says here, "Let your mountain be cast into the sea," I believe it means you'll forget about it. Someone will have to remind you 20 years ago. Remember when that thing was hindering your life? No, I forgot all about it. Oh, man, yeah. Look what God did. That's the sea. Amen. I believe Jesus is talking about here. So there's some things in our life that need casting out. Amen. And there are some things in our life, verse 24 says, "Whatsoever things you desire," there are some things we need to bring into our life. And that's what we pray for. Amen. And Jesus said, "When you pray, believe you receive." At the time you pray, do what? Lay hold of it.
Yep.
By faith.
Amen.
And you shall have it. Now, if you don't believe, guess what? You won't have it.
That's right.
There are lots of people who pray but don't believe, and they don't get. We're not those people, though, right? We're not those type. We are the ones who believe at the time that we pray and we receive. Listen, if you're taking notes, write this down. Faith is an invitation and permission for God to move in this realm. Faith is these two ideas. It's an invitation and it is permission for God to move in our realm. You say, well, does God really need permission? That almost sounds sacrilege. Well, you know, when Jesus was going to come to earth as the Savior of the world, he could not even enter until what? Mary said, "Be it unto me." God of the universe looked at a little Jewish virgin, a young girl, probably aged 13 to 17, somewhere in there, very young and very frail in the whole scheme of things, considering the how immense this whole thing was and important. And yet God himself could not move forward with the plan of salvation, our salvation, until that handmaiden said, "Be it unto me according to your word." God needed permission to come into the world. How much more your healing, how much more your breakthrough, how much more your financial breakthrough, your emotional breakthrough, how much more does it need your permission in order for God to accomplish it? It does. And what gives God permission? Faith. Faith. Say faith. Faith gives God permission. But how many of you know, in the midst of pressing into our needs being supplied, pressing into lack being pushed out of our life, pressing into healing, whatever it is that you're needing in your life right now, there can be a battle along the way. Amen? A very strong battle sometimes. Why? Because we have an adversary. His name is?
The devil.
The Satan. And we also have what? We have our senses to contend with. Our own worst enemy, right? Your senses will tell you something opposite than what faith tells you many times. But you've got to choose which one you're going to believe. Jude verse 3, we've looked at this several times in the last couple of weeks. You want to put that up real quick. Jude 3, it says you must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen, faith is going to require some contending. We may not like to hear that, but it's true. Faith requires some contending. Amen? It's going to be a battle. Christians want things, just like everybody else in the world, instantaneously. You know, push a button, I get what I want from God. No, it doesn't work that way. Why? Because we live in a realm that is telling us things contrary to the Word of God. Our senses are screaming at us. The pain in our body sometimes is screaming at us. The circumstances, your checkbook balance, the bills in your mailbox, the devil himself will be screaming at you something other than the Word. You've got to choose what you're going to believe. And Jude the apostle said, you're going to have to contend, not just easily, earnestly. Say earnestly. But it's worth the fight. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if you don't know it already, faith is the currency of heaven. I like that. Faith is the currency of heaven. For example, if you walk into a store and you see something on the shelf that you like and you say, I want that. Or you say, I want that. Like, I got to have it, right? You could walk up to the clerk at the cash register and say, excuse me, sir, I want that. But you know what? If you don't do a transaction with the proper currency, you could hand them a Canadian dollar, for example, and they might laugh at you, right? You ever gone overseas and brought back some foreign money? It's useless. I mean, unless you go down to some exchange place or whatever, you know, embassy or whatever, get that thing traded out for U.S. dollars, right? It's useless. And so, you know, many times people say, you look at someone and you say, well, are you believing for healing? Well, I hope God will do it. And we're surrounded by a culture of many times people wishing and hoping in a very human way, but not a biblical way. But how many of you know faith is the currency that will get you that thing that you're believing God for? Faith is the currency for exchange. We saw a week or two ago that from the story in the Old Testament with Canaan, that which is given must be what? Possessed. That which is given by God. God told the Israelite nation, he said, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. Now go in and possess it. Amen. There's some possessing to be done. And how do we possess in the kingdom? How do you transact in the kingdom? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says two things. We believed in our heart. We do what? We confess with our mouth. That's how you got saved. That's how you get everything else in the kingdom. Amen. Everything else you obtain in the kingdom comes that way. Believing in your heart, the promise of God, and confessing with your mouth. That's how you do the exchange in order to possess. Amen?
Right.
One person believes it. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid the price so humanity could be forgiven. But those who are forgiven must receive forgiveness of sins. Amen? John 3:16 tells us what? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish. There's a lot of people out there that don't yet believe. And if we don't believe, what happens? The flip side of that verse, we do perish, right? So God leaves the option to man. If you're taking notes, write these phrases down. This is really good. Grace gives, faith receives. Might say it this way. Grace provides, faith takes. Amen? Through the grace of God, he has provided all that we need for life. And then some. More than enough. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Whatever you consider your needs from now to the day you die, God has oversupplied that to you.
Yes.
But faith is the only way to reach out and take hold of it. Let me put it to you this way. In a sense, what's available to you and I is almost meaningless if we don't reach out and take it. I could tell you, you know, I'm not going to use that illustration. I just don't like that illustration. I could tell you that, you know, some rich man, rich tycoon has just deposited into your bank account countless wealth. wealth beyond your imagination. But if you don't go down to your bank and put in the withdrawal slip and say, huh, I'm going to try this out. How about 50 grand? And they go, well, there's more than that. Is that all you want? But if you don't go down to the bank and put that withdrawal slip in, it means nothing to you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
When it comes to kingdom blessings, we must receive, we must take by faith. I like what one person, they said, we're not waiting on God to act. He's waiting for us to perform the act of receiving.
Yes.
You're not waiting on God to act. If you need healing in your body, you're not waiting for God to heal you. He's waiting for you to reach out and take what's already been given to you. This is biblical faith. This is how faith works. Now, many of us have to be schooled in this. I mean, we're all growing in this. Because if you've been brought up in different churches, some churches will teach, number one, God doesn't heal anymore. And some churches will teach, well, God heals, but only those who it's his will to heal. So some get it, some don't. I know that's hard to believe churches out there are teaching that nonsense, but it's everywhere. I mean, it is. I talk to believers often, and the stuff that comes out of their mouth when it comes to their faith in healing, it just blows my mind. It's easy to take for granted what we have come to expect as truth. But there are a lot of believers out there that don't believe that God has determined to heal everybody.
Amen.
And you can't have a bedrock foundation for your faith for healing until you start on that basic premise. God wants to heal me. God wants to heal me every time, in every case. But it's true. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 real quick with me. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
He's good. Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says here, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Interesting there, the preacher says, I want to see you face to face. Not I want you to see my face on TV. How many of you know it's important to come to church? Because when you step into the house of God, the minister, whoever's in charge of that meeting, whoever is working with the Holy Ghost for God's will to be accomplished that day, they see your face, they see your need. And they can be led by the Holy Spirit and be directed to hit that need right in the bullseye.
That's right.
That's the way God operates, face to face. And Paul says here, I want to see you face to face so I may supply what is lacking in your faith. Sometimes our faith is lacking, don't you know? As I said, some of you have been brought up, you've never heard that God wants to heal you. You've just not been taught that in the church you grew up in. Or like I said, maybe you grew up in a church that had a kind of a 50-50 attitude about it. But God wants to heal us. Amen.
Amen.
In fact, he's already done it through Calvary. Amen. That's what we believe here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But faith is crucial. Listen, faith is a life and death matter.
That's right.
Mm. I can't stress that enough. What I'm teaching on right now will save your life. At a given day, if you and I are ever challenged, God forbid, with a really, really big mountain as it pertains to sickness or health, you know, this is life-changing truth, what I'm talking about here today. Because faith reaches past the symptoms, faith reaches past the pain, and takes hold of what God has provided in regards to healing. You say, well, I love the Lord. Well, that's good. Love is a good thing. But you know what? Faith is required to take healing. It's good you love the Lord. There are a lot of people that love the Lord and die prematurely in the kingdom. Listen, God's got a job for all of us to do. He doesn't want any of us to pass before our time. Right? And I don't have all the answers for why some do and some don't, but I will say this. Let's be preemptive here. That's the goal here, because you're all living, breathing at the moment right here in the room, so I can talk to you as you know, potential future candidates. Let's be proactive. And let's be in the aggressive mode and say, we believe in healing, amen. We're going to take healing by faith, and we're going to believe that God wants to heal us. And if we're ever faced with a challenge, we're going to press past the challenge and take that which God has already given through Jesus. Amen. I think he's got it. Or she's got it. She's got it. She's got it. Praise the Lord. God wants us to become skillful in taking. And we don't hear that often in church, because again, religion will tell you, oh, don't be reaching out for the blessing of God so much. But listen, God has already blessed us. And how many of you know it's rude when someone's provided for you? You know, someone spreads a big table for a meal and you don't show up for dinner? That's rude. They paid money for those groceries. Right? That's just flat out insulting. And God has done that for you and I. He has spread the table. Psalm 23 says, even in the presence of our enemies, we may be surrounded by enemies of sickness, lack, etc. And God says, I've spread the table. Now come and dine. And faith pulls up to the table and lifts the fork. Amen. And holds the food up to our mouth. Praise the Lord. Well, Paul said here in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he said, I want to come to you because there are some things in your faith that I feel like are lacking. Say lacking. And when those things are lacking, guess what? We won't be receiving that which God has provided. So Paul says, I want to make sure that I provide for that faith to rise up to the right level so you can partake. Let's look at an example in Luke chapter 5 of someone who was lacking in their faith. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. Luke 5:12 says this, it came to pass when Jesus was in a certain city, behold a man, now remember Luke is a doctor, the man who wrote the gospel of Luke, he was a doctor. He was a Greek, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Greek doctor, a physician. And so when you read his depictions of sick people getting healed, many times there'll be little phrases, little words in there that the way the doctor would write it, right? And notice this, he says, there was a man who was what? Full of leprosy. He didn't just have leprosy, he was full of leprosy. I would call that a hopeless case. You know, if a person had a tinge of leprosy, if I even had a smidgen of leprosy, I'd be a little bit concerned over it. Praise the Lord, I don't. But you know, if they describe me and the patient as being a patient full of leprosy, that sounds pretty hopeless, does it not? Knowing the extent of what leprosy does to a person. But he said, this man was full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him saying, Lord, look at the words, if thou wilt, or if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now this man had some faith, didn't he? Otherwise he wouldn't have come to Jesus. You know, it was unlawful for him to even go out in public. We felt this a couple years ago when COVID hit us. You know, they tried to restrict us, say, you can't go within 6 feet of people, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this, and in his day, a leper was not allowed in public because nobody else wanted to contract leprosy, right? That's reasonable. And that was a Mosaic law. You can't get within so many feet of people. But he was bold enough to come to Jesus and fall on his face. How close? Real close. Close enough for Jesus to reach out and touch him. But look at his words. If you will, or if you're willing, you can. Did he have faith in Jesus? Yeah, he had faith that Jesus could. But where was his faith lacking? Would Jesus, right? I know you could, but would you? And honestly, for most of us on a personal level, anytime we're challenging our faith, it's inside. We all know God is God. He could do anything. The question is, would he do it for us? That's where our faith lacks many times, right? So that was his deficiency. And look at Jesus' answer, verse 13. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, or I'm willing, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad? Full of leprosy, made clean. Why? Because Jesus didn't say within himself, not only can I, but he said, I will.
Amen.
And Jesus says that to every one of us when it comes to sickness, disease, pain in your body. Jesus says, not only can I will.
Hallelujah.
And in fact, remember, this was written as a story that happened, what? Before the cross.
Yeah.
What does the cross tell us? Well, if you don't understand it, and again, many churches don't teach this to the fullness that it needs to be taught. But the cross represents a huge transition point as it pertains to healing, forgiveness, prosperity. Most of us get it with the forgiveness thing. Those of us that are in this room that have received Jesus, you're saved. You believe God has forgiven your sins. Someone told you Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you believe God forgave you because of that finished work. But oftentimes we don't approach the subject of healing to the same degree.
Yeah.
That God has already healed me because of the finished work. Do you see it?
Yes.
God has already prospered me because of the finished work.
Yes.
See, that's the way the cross operates. That's what Calvary did for you and I.
That's right.
Calvary changed everything. And so Jesus said, I will be thou clean. Not only can I, but will I. Let me say this. New Testament biblical faith is not believing God can. Did this leper believe God could? Yes, he did. Did you know you could ask an average sinner on the street, do you believe God can do miracles? And most people here in America, at least, would say, sure. But if they need a miracle themselves, that's a whole other question, right? Do you believe God would do it for you? So biblical faith is not believing he can. It's not even believing he will. Although in this case, in the Gospels, before the cross, that was a revelation, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a revelation to this leper that God not only could, but that God would. But after Calvary, on this side of the cross, in the church age, aren't you glad?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're living in a different time. It's not about he can. It's not about he will. It's about he did.
Yes.
Yeah. I said he did.
Amen.
When Jesus cried, it's finished. God supplied all you and I will ever need as far as finances, emotional stability, physical healing, salvation, forgiveness of sins. It's all been given. When Jesus said, it is finished, God meant it's finished. If Amazon sends you a package and it's on your doorstep, guess what? You're not waiting on the package. The package is waiting on you. Open the door. Faith opens the door and takes the package. We all believe God can. But many times we're challenged as to believe, will he? Do you believe God is willing?
Yes, amen.
You don't have to answer that out loud. Answer it in your heart. Do you believe he's willing to heal you? He's more than willing. And what tells us that? What tells us it with assurance, with confidence, that God is more than willing and has actually already done it? Calvary.
Amen.
Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we were healed. Isaiah said, we are healed. He saw it in present tense, even though he was looking 700 years down the road. He said, we are healed in this moment, present tense. That's faith talking, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, faith talks funny.
Yeah.
Faith sees things other people don't see, and faith talks a little funny. God talks funny. God spoke 700 years before it happened and said, we are. We are healed by his stripes. Jesus wasn't even on the earth yet. Peter, looking back at Calvary, said, and with his stripes, you were healed.
That's right.
Listen, we're living on Peter's side of the cross.
Amen.
We're living in that revelation. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's not a matter of, will God heal me? Can God heal me? Will God heal me? It's, God has healed me. That's 1 Peter 2:24. That's the full revelation.
Yes. Yep.
You say, well, Pastor, why do we come to the altar and receive prayer then? Let me tell you four reasons. Most pastors have at least 3 points. I got four today. four points of why we would say, come forward if you want agreement prayer. First of all, well, I just let the cat out of the bag. Agreement prayer. We're agreeing with your faith.
Yes.
When you come forward, we're not standing here at the altar saying, God, will you heal me? You're coming with your faith. How many of you know that's important?
Yes.
You got to bring your faith to the altar.
Yes.
Because I can add my faith to it, but sometimes my faith alone won't get the job done. You have to have your faith.
Right.
So you come with we are agreeing with your faith. And what is that faith saying in essence? I believe Jesus has healed me. And this is my point of contact. Oh, that I'd already given away the second point. Here's point number two. Point of contact. Ah, it's just rolling out of me. So agreement, we're adding our agreement with your faith, number one. Number two, it's a point of contact. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, when I touch his robe, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That was her what? Point of contact. Do you know, in essence, she already had faith in here before she ever reached out and touched it, or she wouldn't have made her way through the crowd to touch it. But that was a point of contact. So sometimes you just need a point of contact to say, this is my moment. This is when I push the button of faith and I say, received. Received this moment. Last year I had prayer for my body. Thursday, September 8th, 2022. It's marked in me. Because in that moment I believed, I received. I brought my receiver to the altar. And I have not let go of it since. Has it manifest yet? Well, that's none of your business. But it's on its way. Why? Because I believed, I received, and I'm still holding to faith.
Amen.
Whether I see it or not. Number three, why do we come to the altar? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation. You know, Jesus showed up for church one day, and so did a lady who was bowed down for 18 years. And he perceived that it wasn't just a bad back. She hadn't just lifted too many, you know, whatevers in life, creaked her back. No, it was a spirit of infirmity. It was a demonic spirit. And of course, Jesus had no trouble wrestling that out of her. He just said, woman, be loosed, right? She got her healing, straightened up. But in that moment, because she was there and he was there, the gift of the Holy Spirit, what we call discerning of spirits, was operating through Jesus. He perceived it was a spirit that had bowed her down. And he loosed her from what? Loosed her from that spirit of infirmity. And so sometimes when you come to church, when you come up to the altar during prayer time, it's, you know, the whoever's ministering, it may be the pastor or a traveling evangelist, a guest speaker, they operate maybe in a different level of the gifts of the Spirit. And so those gifts being released can help you push across the finish line. How many of you want to make it across the finish line? It doesn't matter. I don't care how I get my healing. You know, if a child has to lay hands on me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I just want to be healed. And so sometimes the gifts of the Spirit are a reason why we come to the altar. Number four, we're not asking God to do something he's already done. We are administering the new covenant blessing of healing that is already given. Amen? That's why you come to the altar. Because we are in operation, we are administering here what is already given in the new covenant. So yeah, we may say the phrase, you know, at this time we're going to pray for the sick. We're not really praying for God to heal the sick. We're standing in agreement,
yes,
for what has already been done.
Amen.
To manifest. Amen. In these bodies that are being prayed for. There's a difference. Let me quickly reiterate a challenge that we often have between receiving and manifestation. Receiving and manifestation. There's a difference, how many of you know, between receiving your healing and the healing manifesting. They're two very different things. And people often confuse the two to where they go, well, I don't feel any different, so I didn't receive. It got real quiet in here when I said that. You're chewing on that. Okay, go ahead. Chew on that for a moment. I said many times people go, inwardly, they think that they may not say it out loud, but they think, I see no change, so I guess I didn't receive. So they walk home defeated in their heart. When they have a misconception of the difference between receiving and manifestation. Let me tell you the difference. Let me go over this with real quick. Healing begins in your spirit. It's when our spirit hand takes hold of what God has provided. Spirit hands are not seen. These physical hands are seen. But we, how many of you know, for everything you have in your physical being, you have physical eyes, you have spiritual eyes. Amen? You have physical ears, you have spiritual ears. You have physical hands, you have spiritual hands. And faith is that spiritual hand that reaches out and says, that's mine. Jesus gave it to me at Calvary. I'm taking it. And so when you come forward for prayer, you in a sense are in that moment, you're reaching out with your spiritual hand and you're taking that thing that you're asking for God, asking from God for. So your spiritual hand takes hold of it. And in that moment you receive. Now, is that the same as that thing being answered in that moment? No, that's what we call the manifestation. There are many testimonies that happen all the time where people get prayed for, and they go back to their seat and they go back home and nothing has changed. I remember one particular testimony. Reverend Hagen ministered years ago to a little boy. I think he had like polio or something, had like those braces on his legs, you know. And the mother brought the little boy forward for prayer and he prayed over him, ministered healing to him. Nothing changed. Mom carried him out of the church that night, still, you know, with those braces on his legs. Couldn't walk without the braces and crutches and whatnot. He gets home, little boy, I guess he was young enough that mom bathed him and you know, he's taking his bath. And that night, the healing manifests. The knees, instead of being bowed like they were all bent funny, all of a sudden they straightened. Well, it took a while, didn't it? Didn't happen in church. Does that mean he didn't receive? No, the manifestation didn't just happen just now. Are you with me? You see the difference? I believe the mom's faith received when she had the boy prayed for. But the manifestation came later. There's a difference. Do you see that?
Yes.
Faith takes as evidence the word of God, the promise of God, not what is seen. That's what the hand of faith does. Faith says, God, give this to me. I'm taking it. Now, that's a mysterious thing. I got to tell you, that's something that happens in our heart at that moment when we actually truly take. And nobody can tell outwardly that you've taken that thing. It happens in here, right? It happens in the unseen realm. The taking, the receiving, the laying hold of, that happens in an unseen reality. It happens in an unseen way. Nothing outward may appear to have changed, but something inside you changed. You believed and you received. Amen? And then it may be a moment later. It may be an hour later. It may be a year later that the manifestation comes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when the manifestation comes. What matters is, did you receive it? Because if you've got it in here, it will come.
Amen.
Isn't that what Matthew 11:24 said?
Yep.
If you believe you receive it, ye shall have it. But see, faith pays no attention to clocks and calendars.
Amen.
The focus is, I've got it.
Amen.
I've got it. I've got it in here. And when you truly have it in here, I don't mean this is not just mind over matter. This is truly having it inside your heart. When you have it in here, it's as good as having it out here. How many of you know?
Yeah.
Ever had it? Wow, there's so much more to say on this. Look at Romans chapter 4 real quick. Romans 4. I like what Nancy Dufresne said about receiving. She says, your answer exists in two forms, seen and unseen. Let me say that again. Your answer, whether it be for healing, financial breakthrough, forgiveness, redemption, any answer you're seeking God for, it exists in two forms, seen and unseen.
That's right.
The seen is the part is when it manifests to us, right? The unseen is where it exists in heaven, in a heavenly reality, provided, supplied for through Calvary, through Jesus, through the work of redemption. That's the unseen form in which our answers exist in. There's been people that have died, have gone to heaven. They've had visions of the eternal realm beyond this life. And they've come back and said things like, I saw the angels took me to a warehouse. You ever heard stories like this?
Yeah.
What was in that warehouse? Body parts, supplies of all kinds.
Yeah.
Why? Because the answer exists in the unseen realm before it ever comes here in the manifestation of the seen realm. But it still exists. Just because you and I don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Are you with me?
Yes.
You're already ready for lunch. Come on, give me 5 more minutes. 5 minutes. 10. 10. All right, I'll take 10. Romans 4, are you there?
Yep.
Romans 4:18. I'm reading it in the King James. Let's read it slowly. And please get your pens and markers ready. It's important for you to write some things around this. Who against hope... I want you to interject in your mind or on paper there if you want to write in your Bible. Who against seen hope, S-E-E-N, that which we see. Who against seen hope. Who's it talking about here first? Abraham, right?
Abraham.
Who against seen hope believed in unseen hope. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Abraham is the given person in this verse that we're talking about. Abraham, against seen hope, that which he could see with his eyes, believed in unseen hope. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? Listen, Abraham looked in the mirror. He's 99 years old. He looked, if they had mirrors back then. They were not as good as our mirrors now, but they worked somewhat. He looked in the mirror and he saw, even though the face looked a little warbly, he saw those gray hairs, those whiskers. Maybe saw a little bald spot on top. Who knows? But Abraham looked. He's 99 years old. He's looking in the mirror and he saw nothing in which to hope for producing a child, not based on his age. It's not going to happen. Then he looked away from the mirror and he looked across the room at Sarah, his lovely wife. However, Sarah was approaching the age of 90. And as beautiful as she was even at 90, did you know the Bible says foreign kings wanted her? She was renewed in her youth because of her faith in God. There was a beauty, a natural beauty that came on Sarah that was unnatural for her age. However, Bible said Abraham even looked at her and in his mind he goes, her womb is dead. He wasn't being ugly, but he's just facing the reality. His wife was beyond the childbearing years, right? That's what this verse is talking about. Who against seen hope, he had no hope in the natural. How many of you are there today? You don't have to raise your hand, just in your heart. You say, this situation is hopeless. What I'm facing with right now, I feel trapped. I feel like nothing can change, nothing can improve, and I got no hope. Welcome to Abraham's Club. If you're looking in with your eyes, you have no hope that you can see. Welcome to the Faith Club. Yeah. But Abraham went a step beyond that. He did what? Believed in unseen hope. What was that unseen hope based on? The promise of God.
Yes.
The Word of God. He had faith. He had hope in a promise he could not see. He could only hear it from God through the Word of God given to him. And he had faith in that promise. He had faith in the promise maker that God would keep his word, that he had integrity enough to fulfill his promise. That's what this verse is saying here. New Testament hope is firmly based on the unseen. Amen? We don't base it on the seen. Every time, now from now on, when you get prayed for, you just stop looking for the manifestation. Okay? If you've got pain in your body, believe it's healed because of what Jesus did at Calvary, not because of when you walk away, you feel different. That's basing your faith on feelings. Now, the manifestation should come. We believe in the manifestation, all right? We're not talking about just all unseen here. But the manifestation comes once we believe in hope, unseen hope, as Abraham did. Amen? We have to do that first. We have to take it by faith first. One last verse, Ephesians 1:3. If you put that up on the slide here, please, Alan. Ephesians 1:3 in the King James. I love this verse. Blessed be, look at it up here on the screen. We don't have time to turn there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. What does hath tell you? Past tense. Good class. Let's read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is what we're talking about. And there's more to say. Stand together with me. God hath blessed us. How much? With all spiritual blessings in Christ. Amen? You are blessed. You are healed. You are recovered. You are forgiven. Just as surely as you are forgiven, you are healed. Just as surely as you are forgiven, you are blessed financially. Amen? Why? Because you see a difference outward? No, because you see the promise of God. Here's one, for example, Ephesians 1:3. I am blessed, past tense. He hath blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, our faith is growing. I can hear your muscles stretching. We're not done yet.
Amen.
Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
That's right.
Amen? We're about being overcomers. I'm looking at a group of people that are healed,
Amen.
Renewed, forgiven, blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because we see it in our natural seen realm? No, not necessarily. Although it will appear there eventually, if we believe. But because of scriptures like this, He hath blessed us. Calvary made all the difference. Amen? Father, we thank you for your promise today. We thank you for faith rising in our hearts, that you're teaching us, growing us up in our faith, taking care of all those areas that are lacking, that need correction, so that we can be those victorious overcomers that you called us to be. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your promise today. Thank you for Jesus, who hath blessed us. Hallelujah. By his sacrifice at Calvary, he has paved the way for all these great and amazing blessings. Thank you, Lord. We are so rejoicing in it today, Father. We declare right now, we believe and we receive every good blessing that you've provided in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go today. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And if you need additional prayer, if there's anybody that didn't come forward earlier, but you say, I'd like agreement prayer. I understand faith a little better today, and I want to pray for this or that. Terry and I will be here at the altar to meet you if you still need some additional prayer. God bless you.